B-Pod Studios.
She was known at one time as the world's most famous groupie. On the phone with us right now, Pamela DeBars. Hi, Pamela.
Howdy.
How are you?
I'm swell, thank you.
You know, we just finished a song by Lynyrd Skynyrd. You never had anything to do with those guys, did you?
No, I was never into Southern rockers. I always liked the British boys.
So it was the British boys you were attracted to.
Yes, it was.
Bad teeth, bad hygiene.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. How did you get around that? Every British rock and roll singer, I think at some time or another, has had all their teeth removed or they have bad teeth. I mean, yeah, what, did you just overlook it?
You know, Robert Plant was the first person I knew to get those teeth screwed into your head permanently.
Yeah.
I know, it's very bad. You know, I had my teeth cleaned there once and they did the four in the front and I said, what the heck are you guys doing? And he said, well, that's the only teeth you see.
So you're all done.
That's kind of like
96K Rock, we did the premiere of the movie over at the Bell, Almost Famous.
And what'd you think?
I didn't see it, but I'm reading, and you're saying that there is a scene in that movie that is too close to be just made up that involved, what, you and Jimmy Page?
Right.
All right, take us through it, sweetheart.
Well, the first night I met, you know, the first night I hooked up with Jimmy, he actually chased me. People always think I chased them, but he chased me.
But isn't that what groupies do? You're supposed to chase them, right?
Well, I was doing that. I was going out with musicians way before the word groupie existed. So, I mean, you know, that was just, that bit was a word that came out later, and it wasn't necessarily negative. It turned negative. But anyway, I was, you know, finally decided to let him catch me. And the first night we got together, I like to impress. You know, I want to do something different. So I pushed the sleeve of his velvet shirt up, and I kissed his inner arm. I started, like, making out with his inner arm like it was a mouth. You know what I mean?
What the? Okay.
It's actually very sexy. Okay, have you ever been kissed there?
Kissed on the inner arm?
That's right.
My dogs licked me there, but...
It's very sexy. Anyway, okay. I did that to Jimmy, and it's in my book. I'm with the band, and it's also in Cameron's movie. Kate Hudson, when she meets the rock star, she slides up his sleeve and kisses his inner arm like that.
So you think somebody tipped them off, or they got it directly from your book?
Oh, directly. Oh, yeah. She's already admitted in a lot of interviews that she read the book and based the character somewhat on me. So, you know, I know this for a fact. So, but anyway, it's okay. It's a good movie.
So how do you? I guess it got pretty good reviews.
Yeah, it's gotten great reviews, and it's a really good movie.
But don't you think that that you know some monetary thing should come from you from that if they're getting inspiration from your book, right?
Well, something, some kind of recognition.
Now,
you know.
Now you're involved with E! Online.
Yes, I have a column. Right now, there's a fantastic quote from Gene Simmons from Kiss, who's a friend of mine. I asked him how he felt about Kiss breaking up, and he left his answer on my phone machine.
You find him to be a very sexy man, don't you?
Yeah, I do. You know why I think he's sexy? He's
what?
Smart.
Now, who's the other guy, the other front man? What's his name?
For
with
what?
Kiss.
Paul Stanley?
Paul Stanley. Yeah.
This guy, good job, Stan.
Yeah, my name's Stan, too. I will see him on stage. Now, tell me about that. He just seems very effeminate up there at times. It reminds me a lot of, like, the guy from Queen.
Well, yes, actually, he's the same kind of stance.
Freddie Mercury.
But a lot of rock guys are androgynous. I know Paul. He's got a wife and kids and everything. And
but, you know, is he androgynous, though? I mean,
androgynous looking.
Uh-huh.
You know, all these rock stars from Mick Jagger on have been very, very androgynous looking. And what most men don't realize is that women love that.
Because it's a false sense of security.
I don't know what it is.
It's
but
a
it's,
false
it's,
sense of security is what it is.
Yeah, Pamela,
well,
you may as well.
Their female side, these men. These
you may as well not answer because Stan knows everything.
I know everything. Now, let me find out with you. When did it first start? When did you first start getting attracted to rock and roll musicians? Tell me about the first time that you said, hey, this is something I enjoy.
Elvis? Oh, yeah. I was a little girl, and I got turned on by Elvis.
Did you ever meet the King?
Nope. I saw him play twice, and I had the opportunity to meet him, but I had just met Michael, the man I married, and I said no. They invited me over.
You mean the Mafia invited you over?
To watch TV with the King. Oh,
yeah.
My God. But I didn't do it.
Who was it? Which member of the Memphis Mafia approached you? Not that fat Marty Lacker.
No, Larry Geller, who was
Okay.
Yeah,
that's a hairdresser. Isn't
that's, yeah, Larry Geller was a friend of mine too.
Yes,
hairdresser, a spiritual advisor.
Yeah, and if you
that's
talk
right.
to the Memphis Mafia people, he was the one that ruined Elvis.
Well, and if you talk to him, it was you know, Dr. Nicolop flop flop.
We've talked to all of them, and I'm a little tired of it.
Now, what about? I mean, I'm talking about the first good rock musician you got your hooks into.
Mick Jagger was the Stones were the ones that made me realize, you know, that rock and roll was sexy.
Uh-huh.
So I said, okay, well, I'm going to go after that guy. That's the first time I felt that I could actually meet, you know, that I wanted to so desperately to meet the person who made me feel that good, you know.
Now, but then after when you finally got to meet him, be with him and all, you know, what did you go around bragging and then all the other girls thought, well, I may as well get in on this too?
Bragging?
Yeah.
No, it was just a lifestyle. Gosh, I lived in Laurel Canyon. I was a member of the Frank Zappa all-girl band. It was just my lifestyle. It's just, you know, I didn't have to brag. People would see me with him, you know what I mean?
But you made the reference that you were a groupie before they were called groupies.
Yes, exactly.
And the thing was that you lived that life, but then evidently some other girls at some point in time said, hey, we can do this too.
Oh, sure.
And you know, then like with the Beatles, you're all sitting outside Abbey Road Studios waiting for George Harrison to come out in a floppy hat.
Well, no, I never did that. I never sat and waited around. I didn't have to do that. I was a very kind of, you know, VIP in Hollywood with the GTOs, my girls. We got invited to everything. We didn't have to wait out inside any doors. I did that when I was really young,
right.
Really young, but, you know, like 15 and 16. But once I, you know, became part of the world, I didn't have to do that.
Was there ever a floppy hat involved, though?
What does a floppy hat have to do with anything?
You've seen it was like, you know, they would have camera people sitting outside of the Abbey Road studios.
Waiting for that floppy hat.
When they're recording the White Album or something, and all the girls that would stay there for hours and days on end, and then they'd have this grainy 8mm film of some cameraman shooting, and there's George Harrison, some floppy hat, dark sunglasses in the middle of the night, jumping into a limo with the girls chasing after him.
Well, you know, one of those women out front there was Yoko Ono, you know, the chief. She was a groupie for John, and Linda was a groupie for Paul.
Now,
so it really worked.
I heard that Linda was kind of a groupie towards Paul, but I guess it wasn't. The story always went that John met Yoko by chance at an art show.
No.
She would hang out and wait for him and actually pursued him.
Yoko hung around his front gate for weeks. She was hanging around his front gate, and she left him an invitation to this art gallery.
Oh. Well, it seems to me then he kind of wanted to be taken.
Yeah, sure. Well, same with Paul. You know, the night Linda actually left this club with Paul, she had told a friend of mine, she says, I'm going to get me a Stone or a Beatle.
And she
well, didn't she? Paul was not the first musician that she had been with either.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And you know, they don't mind. You know, so people think, oh, used merchandise. It was never like that, especially in the 60s. It was like, everything was so much fun, and there was no pressure.
Paul felt that he had to marry her because she had a bun in the oven, though.
Possibly, but I think he really loved her.
Well, we found out afterwards.
Yeah, they were a real true love story.
Yeah, but in the beginning there, I mean, here's a woman that already had a child.
Right.
You know, already was with other notables. And
Mick Jagger, for one.
Yeah, and she goes and gets herself pregnant, and I think, you know, maybe to avoid some kind of scandal, to maybe continue with his good boy image, he felt he had to marry her.
Well, I really don't know about that. I think he probably wanted to. I mean, anybody who would drag someone who can't sing a note on stage with him all the time.
Well, may as well then.
Yeah, it turned.
I mean, he really loved her.
It turned into love. Yeah, I guess you're absolutely right. Pamela, now tell us about your books. You can go out and buy it in the bookstores and all that.
No, you can't. I'm with the band and Take Another Little Piece of My Heart. I just gone out of print last year, which is too bad. I need to get a petition up for, you know, to have. Because I think they should be out all the time. But my third one, Rock Bottom, you can still find on Amazon.
And check you out with E-Online as well.
Yeah, eonline.com. I have a weekly music column.
Pamela, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Pamela DeBars.
Because of today's session of the 1956 Democratic National Convention, the following programs will not be seen today. Charles Collingwood and the News, Stand Up and Be Counted, As the World Turns, sponsored by the Procter & Gamble Company, The Johnny Carson Show, Art Linkletter's House Party, sponsored by the Kellogg Company and Pillsbury Mills, and The Big Payoff. We expect that all of these programs will return tomorrow at their usual times over many of these same stations.
Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Port Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. So damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it all afternoon. We like whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Do us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
Vagabonds who have somehow stolen your heart, Southwest Florida. Stan and Haney in the afternoon. 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Wednesday edition of the Stan and Haney
And that's
show.
The correct way to say it.
It is.
A lot of people don't know that.
We went and had went through the whole thing one time. And you can go right into Webster's dictionary. Oh, it's spelled like Wednesday and Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the way you pronounce it.
Yeah.
The day is D.
And if you need proof, go back and look at 1950s era news anchors.
Yep. Wednesday.
Now, you won't see a Chuck Todd do that. Because he doesn't know any better.
You'll see him do a lot of things.
Sleepy Chuck Todd.
Yeah. There we go.
You go back to Cronkite and all the way to the Murrow Boys, you'll see...
Yeah. Mundy.
Yep. Bob Schieffer did that.
Yes.
And he's retired now.
Well, like, where it was really noticeable because he always made mistakes was Frank Gifford on Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
And he went, after he was a member of the New York Giants for a while, he went to acting school. They taught him to speak properly.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd always hear him opening up Monday Night Football, Monday Night Football, Monday night. And it's like, oh, come on, Gifford, it's Monday Night Football. No, it's Monday.
When he'd get really confused is, and we welcome you back to a special Thursday, check that Tuesday edition of Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
His intros towards the end, he would get the teams wrong.
He took a lot of blows.
Mm-hmm. And it became evident.
Where they used, in his day, that was still, for most of his career, leather helmet.
And I think you agree with me. Monday Night Football's greatest hour, everybody would say, oh, well, that must be Cosell. No. It was the Nightmare Booth of 1986, where it was Frank Gifford, who always wanted to do play-by-play.
Well, he was the play-by-play guy. That was
him. As he was being pushed out, though.
Yep.
And we bring in an Al Michaels. It's like, I'm the play-by-play
that's
man.
That's true. For 1 year, he had to do color commentary, and then when they were really pushing him out, and they brought Deardorff in, and he had to go to the ESPN zone and sit in that booth, that the hermetically sealed booth.
But the best, in this reporter's opinion, was the Nightmare Booth of 1986, and this was just prior to a complete overhaul.
Mm-hmm.
The booth consisted of Frank Gifford, our good pal, Joe Namath, and the Juice, O.J. Simpson.
Three people that didn't know what the hell they were doing.
And it was amazing.
They actually had, I think they had the Super Bowl
that was
year.
The Bears. That was the year of the Chicago Bears.
And that was the year that Frank demanded that his wife, Kathy Lee Gifford, sing the national anthem because she's got a beautiful
voice. Yeah, the height of his power. And then it went away.
Yep, that was it. That was the end. I have
all that from what is today?
Today is Wednesday.
Yeah, all that from that.
I got to read you this headline. I've never seen one before. Never knew they existed. And you want to talk about scary? This comes from the UK. Never knew this thing existed. And this thing will take a bite out of you right up to the arm and shoulder. Follow me on this.
You mean like worse than a monitor lizard?
Yes. Dateline the UK. A wild raccoon dog has been terrorizing a UK village.
What?
Raccoon dog. A wild raccoon.
You mean a raccoon mated with a dog?
It may as well be. Follow me. Follow me on this. This is spooky stuff. A wild raccoon dog has been terrorizing a UK village, terrifying locals and attacking pets. The British agency SWNS reports that police were called to Clarborough in Nottinghamshire this week after residents were subject to a 2-hour standoff with a strange-looking animal. Look.
That's a raccoon dog.
That's a raccoon dog.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's a killer. Villager Mandy Marsh.
That thing is beyond odd.
I'm telling you, this thing is bad. Villager Mandy Marsh was awoken by a blood-curdling scream early on Tuesday morning, and her husband, Dale, ran outside to see a raccoon dog confronting the couple's pet goat and pony. He came back and he said to me, you're going to have to come and see this. There's something in the field attacking the pony, and I have absolutely no idea what it is.
Oh, when you look at it up close, it's even weirder.
This raccoon dog was absolutely crazy. It was hissing and screaming and snarling. It was going absolutely mad. Armed with planks of wood, it took the couple 2 hours to chase the angry raccoon dog away.
So they beat it off?
Yeah, well, they thought they did. Although their pet goat was left with a sore shoulder and scratches following the attack, the raccoon dog returned moments later to confront a dog walker outside of March's home, according to the news agency. Police have warned local residents, be vigilant. Now, here you go. The animals...
Did you just do that successfully? Local villagers, be vigilant?
Yep.
That was nice.
I'm a pro. The animals, which...
Now, try that, Frank Gifford.
The animals, which are described as being the same size as a medium to small-sized dog, are potentially dangerous if approached, as they are not domesticated. Marsh said that a local wildlife tracker offered to help track the raccoon dog and had told her that something had been attacking local animals recently. Now, here's the deal on a raccoon dog. Raccoon dogs are not raccoons.
Are they dogs?
They are members of the dog family, according to the UK's Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, noting that the animals pose a highly invasive risk to native species in Europe because the effers will kill them.
I
a raccoon dog.
If you just told me about a raccoon dog, I'd say it was made up.
Yeah, me too. I'd never heard of it before. Raccoon dog.
But I imagine that's how people, north of the Caloosahatchee react when we talk about gator squirrels.
That's right. I go, what are you, talking crazy? No, gator squirrel. Over
this
in the UK,
thing,
raccoon dogs. This thing's vicious. Vicious killer. It'll rip your face off.
And what's it doing there? It's indigenous to East Asia.
Yeah. Raccoon dog.
Now, the one picture that I was being shown, yeah, as you look closer, it looks even weirder.
Yeah.
Because that one looked like it had the head of a poodle and the body of an ostrich.
not quite.
No, if you look at that particular picture.
He's
if you
in
look
a
at,
attacking position, that's why.
But look at it up close.
I see him.
No, I mean, you got to be like right up on the picture.
I was in the office staring at it with my nose to the screen.
The head looks like a poodle.
Yeah.
And the body's like an ostrich.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at other pictures of different raccoon dogs.
These are killers.
And some of them look like wolverines. Other ones look like raccoons.
Yep.
Others look like dogs.
Yep. They're killers.
And some of them look like a raccoon and a dog.
Yep.
But this one looks like a poodle and an ostrich.
Well, he's got the mange, I think.
Good Lord. You know, as if we didn't have enough problems. Always coming up with something else.
We're going to take a break.
For Christ's sake, that's something I didn't have to worry about.
Raccoon dog.
Just 20 minutes ago.
Yep.
Wasn't a worry in my mind.
Nope.
Nope. Can't unsee it.
We'll be back.
I hope we don't have any around here.
Well, somebody's going to try to bring one back as a pet.
We probably just did it.
Yep, somebody wants to go and get a raccoon dog.
Because we were talking about it. Stan... We've got to go back in time to 2 o'clock and make sure we never mention it.
Mention raccoon dog.
Okay?
Yeah, let's go back. We'll be back.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest novelties, a fabulous boy prodigy.
The most amazing of all the chimp acts that have ever come to show business.
He said, as you recall, everybody remembers this one. Here's an act that'll scare the life out of you. From China.
He's been in India. He's been all over the world.
Just back from Las Vegas, the Italian Casanova.
A Texas friend of mine, my handsome Italian paisano, today's greatest living American.
Here's the man I invited to Christmas dinner.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Wednesday edition of the show. That means in about an hour, are you smarter than Haney? The lovely Karen will be in studio with us. Lucky Stan and Haney listener, go head-to-head with Mark Haney for a chance to win a valuable prize selected especially for them. Let's do the grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North in Naples. I guess they're calling him Jeopardy James now. This James Holzhauer who just keeps winning. They say he's so good.
How good is he?
That he can answer Alex Trebek's questions. Well, I guess Alex Trebek gives you the answer. He poses the question before Alex is even done.
This is Jeopardy. Nesoteras rhombopteryx.
James.
What is Bangkok?
Yes. The xenomorphs.
James. What is Kyrgyzstan?
Right. Linnaeus released.
James. What is curiosity?
Yes, indeed. The scientists.
What is dead cat?
Correct. Defervescence is a.
What is Moorish?
That's it. From here.
Was Harding.
Right, you are. No phantoms.
James. Home runs.
Yes.
Education.
Right.
Plain Jane.
Yes.
Bargaining.
That's it.
The mashed potato.
Right, you are.
Raleigh.
Yes, indeed.
Gary.
That's it.
Rice Price.
Yes.
What is brain trust?
That's it.
Is so good.
I'm pretty good.
Yeah, you are. That's why I don't play those games with you anymore.
Yeah, well, now you know, we've talked about it before when people want to play board games with me and they get all mad.
Yeah. Because you play to win, as it should be. These aren't social gatherings where we all get around and play Trivial Pursuit or the Game of Life or no. It's a competition meant to win.
Mm-hmm. You know, over the holiday weekend, I did some reminiscing, and I realized I truly cherish the time you and I spent in competitive bowling.
Oh, yeah.
We really were.
Yep.
We were something.
Yeah, we were one for the ages. Without a doubt. It's happened again. A weatherman losing his mind.
Well, there's a lot of weather going on, I guess. The apocalypse is happening in the central part of the country.
Dateline, Ohio.
You know the part where you think you're safe from everything?
Yeah.
There's no earthquakes, no hurricanes. Like 500 tornadoes over the past couple of days.
Dateline, Ohio, a TV weatherman just lost it when people on social media complained about him interrupting the normal coverage of The Bachelorette to let them know effing tornadoes were on the way. He couldn't take it anymore. He broke the wall. Text comes in, email comes in. And finally, he can't stay silent any longer.
And he's not trained for that.
No, he is not.
You and I are professionals.
Yes.
We go back and forth across the wall all the time. But if you don't have the special training...
You sound like this.
Heavy rain is between you and the tornado. I was just checking social media. We have viewers complaining already. Just go back to the show. No, we're not going back to the show, folks. This is a dangerous situation, okay? It's nice, right? Think about this. This was your neighborhood. I'm sick and tired of people complaining about this. Our job here is to keep people safe, and that is what we're going to do. Some of you complain that this is all about my ego. Stop, okay? Just stop right now. It's
okay,
not.
Okay, it is.
I'm,
yes,
I'm it done is. With you people. I really am. This is pathetic. Dangerous situation here. All right, I'm sorry I did that. It really bothers me that we have people that don't care about other people's safety around here.
Well,
that's just ridiculous.
That's how people are.
Yeah. Always have been, always will be.
Mm-hmm.
That's life's path.
It sure is. And for him to go willy-nilly, trying to scramble over that wall, doesn't know what he's doing.
Untrained, incapable.
And you want to talk about people being in danger, it's you, pal.
Yep.
You don't know what you're doing. Yeah,
Wait till they see you on the street.
Yeah. You better stick to that map, son. Because you come into our world, you won't last a second.
Some of the sounds may be disturbing, but it is another thing. This is life. This is life's path.
Mm-hmm.
A woman in Massachusetts was pulled over. Oh, no, that's not. Here it is. A pregnant woman in Nevada drove to the hospital to give birth over the weekend, but couldn't make it in time. So the woman gave birth in the passenger seat of her automobile.
You gotta wonder, how bad did it have to get before she decided to leave for the hospital?
The couple, mom and dad.
What is it that told her, oh, it's time?
Well, she's had kids, so she knows. Pregnant woman. I don't like the way this is phrased. A pregnant couple.
Oh, Jesus.
A pregnant couple in Nevada drove to the hospital to give birth over the weekend. Couldn't make it in time.
Well, that tells me it's two females. One of them is taking hormones and has grown a beard, and they're both pregnant.
So the woman gave birth in the passenger seat. For the ride over to have the baby delivered, they couldn't find a sitter in time. So they had to have the couple's three other children were also in the car as the birth was happening.
We're on our way to the hospital. We love you and we'll see you soon. Just can't wait to put our hands on you. Anything you guys want to say?
Hurry up.
Mike, the baby's coming out.
No.
Oh, Mike, the baby's coming out.
No, she's not.
That'll do it.
Oh, my God. Hold the baby.
Lay on that part.
Yeah, that kid's crying now.
Hold her up. Oh, my God. Hold her. Hold her.
Hi, baby. Look at my baby. We got a baby. She's so pretty. Look, you guys.
Look, kids.
Yeah, they'll never forget.
You can't take that back.
She's gorgeous.
Baby, we had a baby in the car.
Oh, my God. You got to trade that thing in. Go see Aaron Walker.
Nobody needs to know.
No.
But you always will.
He'll go shampoo that upholstery.
Yep.
Get that thing out of your hair and get you a brand new Nissan.
Yep. Even given what you've done to Grant for it.
Yep.
You know, that's not the way it's done.
Nah.
And it's not that we don't know how it's done. You admit the mother to the hospital at least a week ahead of time.
Yes.
The other kids have gone to grandma's.
Yes.
And that's time for dad and his buddies to have a little fun.
Go out and to then, the clubs.
Yeah. And then once it's all over... mother and baby are both cleaned up. Mom has put her makeup on and had her hair done.
Yeah, so everything's proper.
That's when, you know, honey, look at that beautiful child.
Isn't that adorable. Number four in the family. You don't go, seriously.
That's how it's done.
Yep. I'm telling you right now. If that air conditioning's working, Aaron Walker will give him some money for that.
Mm-hmm.
Get it out of
That's
their
the
sight.
Important thing is cold air. But seriously, you know, you look at the divorce thing.
Yeah.
There was no such divorce back then. Because things were handled properly.
They were all in their own compartment.
And, you know, these days, your wife's coming home from work and complaining about the bitches at the office. That didn't exist.
No.
And if she had any complaints about you, you never heard about it. She'd go to her mother, who would tell her... You need to buck it up and do what you need to do to keep your house and your children.
Yes. Yes.
Now, I understand that he's an a-hole, but there's nothing that can be done now.
Right.
You need to clean the house.
You must honor your vows.
And it's probably your fault for agitating him.
Yep. Yeah.
Nowadays, they call their mother and they're like, oh, I'll come pick you up now.
Yep. Come home to nothing but tumbleweed.
Seriously, we knew how to do things properly at one point. We've lost that knowledge.
Yeah. You're sitting there in the waiting rooms, doctor would come in. Well, he'd send a nurse. and say, Mr. Haney, your wife had a bouncing baby boy. Come with me, and you got to look at it through the glass.
Mm-hmm. And like I said,
which one is my son? He's the second row, third one in. Aww.
Yes, I'll bond with him.
Yeah.
Now, what about my wife? Oh, she's still feeling a bit peaked. She may need another day.
She is resting comfortably, but I don't advise you to visit with her right now. Okay.
You didn't see some sweating woman chewing on ice chips screaming.
Yep.
No, you came in after it was all over with.
Yeah.
And she looked beautiful.
Yeah, because she had makeup on.
Look at that. She's glowing.
Yep. Baby was all bundled up.
Mm-hmm. She's glowing because she's got her face on.
Yep. You know, and the baby nursing on a bottle.
Mm-hmm. Now, what she does on her own time is her business.
Yeah, right.
But you know, won't see that.
You don't need to see it.
Everything is very sanitary. I don't know who came up with these ideas, but they're horrible.
Because they felt if they were going through all this, well, damn it, he'll go through it too.
And we were really the first generation to pay the price for all these crazy ideas.
Our parents didn't do that.
Nope.
This is horrific. A woman in Massachusetts was pulled over for a traffic violation on Monday and busted. Why? For having 22 dogs in a van and a parrot.
Put it this way. The officer called for public health to come to the van because it was so bad. A veteran sergeant say to me that in all the things that he's seen in all the years he's been here, this has to fall into the top five of the worst he's ever seen.
Jeez, there she is.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, around the neighborhood, they call her Mama. She's facing animal cruelty charges, and the dogs were taken to a shelter where they'll be euthanized peacefully.
Get the help they need.
Yeah. You remember the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Richard Dawson vehicle Running Man?
Oh, yeah, based on the Stephen King novella.
Yep.
Actually, I believe it was a Richard Bachman novella.
It was just dawned on everybody. You know, you think we remember it. It was a futuristic film set in 2019.
Food riot in progress. Approximately 1,500 civilians. No weapons are evident.
Eliminate anything moving.
I said the crowd is unarmed. There are lots of women and children down there. All they want is some food, for God's sake.
Proceed with Plan Alpha. All rioters must be eliminated.
I will not fire at helpless human beings.
Where's it coming from?
Network satellite.
Don't touch that dial.
We're experiencing technical difficulties.
It's showtime.
Yeah, 1987, the movie came out. It was set in 2019.
Oh, yeah, that's the future, Stan.
Yep.
We're living in the future.
Let me tell you about...
Oh, what's that? Somebody from 1987 has a question.
Yes.
They want to know what's different. We have very limited capabilities of answering them. I think we only allowed one word. So what's different, 1987? Computers!
Yep, it's true. And you can't smoke in buildings.
Well, they don't need to know that. Let them enjoy it while they can.
Stephen A. Smith is a sportscaster on ESPN. He's based out of New York. That's where he started. He was a local guy in New York. He's gone national. His angle is losing his mind on the air.
That's his shtick, his trademark.
You know, Christopher Russo was known for being an idiot. Sorry, I personally knew him.
And, well, you did. You did. Take advantage of him on that cruise.
I did. Stephen A. Smith went on an epic Los Angeles Laker rant.
I'm not happy about it one bit. I got better things to do with my damn time. Better things to do. ESPN.com decides to come out with a story on the day that Magic and the crew are going to be here. Do I like the fact that I have to deal with it today? Hell no. Go check it out on ESPN.com. obviously is very, very important. I mean, it's covered at ESPN.com. It's a big deal, right? Stop the process. Magic Johnson might have been a bit hardcore as a businessman. Stop the process. And it's actually news to y'all that this man came in there and had an attitude? Really? Really?
Stan,
thank you, Steven.
Can you translate for me? What's he upset about?
He was having, Magic Johnson in as a guest, I think. And they ESPN was about how dysfunctional the Laker organization is right now. And he's the one that's got the end story out there to interview Magic.
Okay. I would think a broadcaster would be thrilled with that, actually.
Yeah, well, here. Stephen A. Smith ranted about the network's coverage of Magic Johnson and the Lakers yesterday, and it was pretty epic, even by his standards.
Epic? Is that what we're calling that?
Epic.
He threw a temper tantrum.
Yeah,
basically, that's not epic.
Basically, he didn't think any of the revelations about Magic were a big deal.
So, talk to Magic about it.
Yeah, and I think he did. I think it's to sell books. Secondly, Dennis Hoff isn't alive anymore to defend himself.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to talk about Lamar,
yep.
Are you?
Well, he'll say it himself. Lamar.
What kind of credibility does Lamar have?
But the ladies on The View wanted to hear all about it. Lamar, because what? He was hung out with a Kardashian, didn't he?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Somebody really twisted his arm, forced him into the bunny ranch, and poisoned him. Yeah.
Lamar Odom claims he did not do drugs that night. He almost died and thinks now deceased and guest on this show, brothel owner Dennis Hoff, tried to kill him.
Yes. He lured him to a trailer out in the desert.
In the middle of nowhere.
Did he keep poisoning?
He tried to kill me.
That's what you think?
Yeah.
Because you write in the book.
Can't you prove it?
Yeah, I can't, but my lawyer has workers at the brothel that said
right.
that he tried. He almost succeeded, though.
We weren't able to verify it at ABC News, but in your book,
you
don't remember taking drugs.
I didn't. I've been at odds with my daughter right. about this. She's like, leave it alone, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? But I would like to clear my name.
Man's dead. Can't defend himself because Dennis Hoff was heard that. He'd pull out pictures, videotape.
That's pathetic.
Yep, to sell a book. Oh, one of our Amandas just wrote us. And she knows. Stan and Haney, my husband, was in the room while I had a C-section. And he loved every second of it. Ha! Just kidding. It was absolute torture for him. Sorry I had to put you through that. Signed, Amanda. There's no way in the world a man should be in a room while a C-section's going on. I'm sorry.
And I don't know if people will back me up on this or not. But a lot of this on insisting that the father here as a full participant, I don't think it happens on the subsequent children. I think everybody knows by then.
Yeah, stay away. Because here, very quickly, and Haney and I both went through it. You're going to go to
I went through it with you as well.
Yeah, you're going to go to these Lamaze classes. You're going to teach your wife how to breathe, and you're going to give her the ice chips. You got to go to these every Wednesday night or whatever night
it
is.
You're an idiot.
It goes completely out the window.
And you're in the way.
And you're in the way.
You shouldn't be there.
They'll call you every name in the book. And everything that you practiced, went through, because you wanted to be a part of this, goes out the window. Out the window.
And you know, they don't want you there. You know who they do want there?
Their mother.
Their mother.
Oh.
You, the first couple of seconds before anything hurts.
Look at your iPad.
I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah.
And that devolves very quickly with the first sharp pain to, I want my mother, you bastard.
Yep. Get out of here and give me an epidural.
Yep. Oh, I'm not. I can power through it. I don't need an epidural. First contraction.
Yeah. Hey, you'll be. You were there. I was told, get out of the room. You and I were in the cafeteria. I was eating a turkey sandwich.
Yep.
Because
I was with you.
Couldn't be in the room anymore. Get out. We'll let you know when it, because the ice chips, the holding hand.
Total bull.
It's, sorry about that, folks, but it's true.
But, you know, you were lucky to have me. I didn't have you there for me when my daughter was born.
I know it.
I really missed you.
I know, buddy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just breaking out in a cold sweat thinking back to those days.
You were the biggest mess I've ever seen.
I was a complete mess. Anyway, you know what?
You were experiencing every emotion all at once.
Because of my...
I know.
Because my daughter was being born.
Say no more.
But.
There are positive emotions as well. I said every emotion.
But. I was battling a lot of peripheral things, too. not the excitement of my daughter coming into this world. But their mothers. I was in a battle about, I felt, if we're going through with this, if you want me here
if this is what you want.
You, me, the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
No, I want my mother. I don't want your mother in here. I need... It turned into just a real tension-filled...
It turned into Stan GTFO, where's my mother?
Yep. We'll be back, Stan and Haney.
And then the turkey sandwich ended up in that little mini fridge with the urine samples.
Yep, it's true.
I saved it for you.
I appreciate it. It was still tasty. 96K.
96K Rock. To be a true champion... You need pride, vision, and perseverance. You need these same qualities to be a moderately successful afternoon FM talk show. Do you really expect people to believe this shit? Stan and Haney in the afternoon on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Are you smarter than Haney in about 25 minutes? Phone lines are open right now, 277-9600. You'd like to contribute.
You know, Stan, although we've determined that the charges of you being a serial bank robber were made up.
Yeah.
We found that you interfered with our investigation of the fake crime.
Yep. Because if you didn't rob that bank, we would have said so.
No, we know you didn't rob the bank.
Mm-hmm.
But you interfered in our investigation.
Yep.
You said mean things about us.
Yep.
And this is well documented.
It's just more fuel. He should have just kept his mouth shut, Mueller.
You called our investigation into the fake crime a witch hunt and saying that it's nonsense based on something that never happened. And you can't do that.
If I could have, I would have.
And Fat Jerry is back at it.
Yep. Nadler says more fuel.
Speaking of fuel, I told you, a guy set himself on fire.
Yeah, you told me that, by the way. I was walking around like one of them zombies.
Yep.
Like in the movies when they put the flame suit on him.
Yeah, the picture is great. He's standing upright on fire.
Yep.
You know, they do that walk when they're on fire.
Yeah, very stiff and a lot of moving to add oxygen to the flames.
Yep.
A couple of things that Haney and I know this. I think even Haney talked about it. And it's happening is you have Netflix, and there was the big thing. Disney is going to start their own platform for their own movies and original programming.
Good. That'll give them a place where they can make Song of the South available.
Wrong. And that's where I'm going. And I know Netflix has got to give up some of their the Disney stuff because Disney's got the rights and they're going to do their own platform with original programming, Disney movies and all that. And my girlfriend pointed this out to me yesterday. She said, did you see this article? And I went and I pulled it up. It's in the latest Hollywood insider stuff in Variety magazine. Follow me on this. Lady and the Tramp will reinvent problematic Siamese cat
God,
song.
I hate that word.
Yep. Feature new music from Janelle Monáe. Watch what they're doing. Grammy winner Janelle Monáe will contribute new music to the Disney Plus streaming and the live-action reboot of Lady and the Tramp. That would be the Siamese cat song that they're going to put new music in.
What's wrong with that?
Originally recorded by Peggy Lee for the feline duo Cy and Am now, in the animated version.
This is from Lady and the Tramp?
Yes. Those characters and their famous refrain, "We are Siamese if you please, we are Siamese if you don't please."
Me Chinese, me play joke.
Have long been considered a cringe-worthy depiction of Asian culture.
It's a cartoon.
Yes. What, they're going to do a new live action reboot, and they're getting rid of this. Contributors Nate Rocket Wonder and Roman Gianarthur are working on a different take for the pair, who in the new film are not Siamese cats. The insiders added that Walt Disney Studios confirmed Monet's musical involvement, as did a rep for the singer. In a 2013 analysis of the cat song at culture blog Flavor Wire, one author found the depiction of Cy and Am a result of post-World War II anxiety in America that they had about others, saying they came to represent a dubious and seductive team with shady motives.
They're cartoon cats.
They have no individuality. Their innocent blue eyes bend into a sinister glare as they cave at a slant. They are jaundiced and sly, sick and feral. Domesticated, though nevertheless propelled by their mischievous, impish nature to deceive and intimidate. The author of the article called them a colonist nightmare.
Oh, God.
The upcoming live action takes movies like Aladdin and Mulan, which are also going to be made up, so that they accurately represent the racial makeup of their respective characters. Disney Plus is expected to launch in mid-November, and Lady and the Tramp soon afterwards on there. So they're doing away with that whole section of the film because it is a colonist nightmare. What next? So if you grew up watching Lady and the Tramp, the cartoon, the Siamese cat song is problematic. Oh, where's that song again? Where is this?
Does it ever end?
No, it doesn't end. Here. This is a problem.
They're cartoon cats.
Siamese, if you please.
We great, are the great Siamese, Peggy Lee.
If you don't please. Now we're looking over our new domicile. If we like, we stay for maybe quite a while.
Adorable.
Do you see that thing swimming round and round? Yes. Maybe we could reach in and make it drown. If we sneak up upon it carefully, there will be a head for you, a tail for me.
Result of a post-World War II anxiety America had about the foreign.
Well, Siam is China, and they were our allies during the war.
That's true. But that complicates things, Haney.
Well, it's problematic,
it's
Sam.
Problematic.
We are problematic.
Always have been.
Deplorable.
Yeah.
Problematic.
When we come back,
idiots.
When we come back, are you smarter than Haney? You may choose WWE SummerSlam Heatwave Tour tickets. Maybe you'd like to go. Oh, look at this. You kids out there. Southwest Florida Space Con.
Nice.
Yeah, complete with a costume contest, cosplay, lip sync battle. We've got Bam's Restaurant, Subway gift card, Sunshine Ace Hardware. Maybe you'd like one if you're smarter than Haney. We'll be back. 96K Rock.
You'll miss us when we're gone. Thankfully, we're not going anywhere. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. Wednesday afternoon. I know a lot of you think it's Tuesday, but it's Wednesday. I have to keep telling myself it's Wednesday. About 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic news headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails all on the way. The lovely Karen has joined us in studio.
Hello, everyone.
Because we are getting ready for another edition of Are You Smarter Than Haney?
Yes.
Again, we had new categories last week. We will use those categories this week as well. We've gotten rid of the whole arts and literature.
I love it. Now, did you enjoy Disney movies?
I did. I did enjoy Disney movies.
Like Lady and the Tramp?
Yeah.
You know they're wrecking it.
Why? How so?
Well, Stan just did the story where people, I guess, smarter than us,
okay,
have decided that this is problematic. Little song from Lady and the Tramp where those Siamese cats show up.
Yeah. Well, okay. Some people just need to let, like, old things be old things.
I agree.
Why do they gotta spoil everything?
They are doing a new action version of
and
Lady,
they, and they're not happy.
And
with
they
this.
Are rewriting this because it's problematic.
They're cartoon cats.
I mean, They are cartoon cats. I mean, if they're the ones spending the big bucks, they can do what they want. But you're kind of ruining a good thing, so.
Yeah.
No, I think what they're doing is they're attacking harmless things.
To each their own, I guess.
Yeah. Except it's not to each their
We're
own.
We're being forced.
You don't have a say.
I don't have a say in that. I don't have a say. I do have a say in Smarter Than Haney.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You got total control.
Six categories. We're going to get a lucky Stan and Haney listener to go head-to-head with Mark Haney. First one to get all six categories will be declared the winner.
Did you figure out who's stealing your trash can?
Someone's stealing your trash can?
Nah, it just was left outside. Nobody brought it in. So I had to go and switch trash cans, but one of them was filled with a lot of snot rags. But I got a trash can now. If you defeat Haney, you're going to get a nice prize. To even be eligible for a prize, you must get at least two categories right. We've implemented that because people started throwing the game knowing that they'd get the prize if they want, and a lot of people want to play the game.
That really only happened one time.
When we finally had enough. It's happened a few times. So we got to do it this way. People spoil it for others. And that's the way it's got to be. Karen is here as your lifeline. Haney can use her as a lifeline. You can use her.
Well, you did it.
You can only use her once. You got to go and say, I'd like to use my lifeline before we ask the question. Let's play Are You Smarter Than Haney?
If you think you are smarter than me, I would like to see you. Can try it. Stan's got prizes. Yours for free if you prove you're smarter than me. It's not easy. It's hard work. Stan's trick questions. What a f***ing jerk. All those prizes yours for free. Matching wits with Mark Haney. You're a contestant. Stan's the host.
Hi, everybody.
I'm the one who knows the f***ing most. If you dare to disagree, simply prove you're smarter than me. I'm a genius.
You're a slob.
I must beat you. That's my f***ing job. If you think you're smarter than me, I politely disagree.
The categories, the new categories, some old, some new, for today's game. Geography, music, movies, acronyms, sports, and the old favorite, wild card. Yeah. Cannot have won anything in the last 30 days. Random Stan and Haney listener. I'll be the judge. It doesn't necessarily mean the first one. We've heard many times where there's a bad connection or can't understand what you're saying. So it's a random caller.
If we're using the same categories, do I have the right to challenge you?
Yes. Well, after that NASA one. But that was the only one I saw in there. But there could be more. Karen?
Release the phones.
Phone lines are released. Would you like to play Are You Smarter Than Haney? 277-9600. Random Stan and Haney listener. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is David.
What do we think?
It's a little low.
It's a little low. Ahoy, who's this?
Tom.
Tom, am I on a speakerphone, Tom?
No.
It's okay. He's a little overmodulating.
I'm on an earbud. I can take my earbud off.
If you wouldn't mind taking your earbud off,
is that better?
Much better. Tom, have you won anything in the last 30 days, Tom?
Never won anything.
All right, well, you're in.
Yeah, that's a good connection.
Say hi to Karen. She's your lifeline.
Hello, Karen.
Hi, Tom. Good luck today.
Thank you.
All right, the categories.
No, you're spelled T-O-M, not T-H-O-M, right?
Well, I mean, if it was Tom S, it'd be T-H-O-M-A-S. But, yeah, Tom is T-O-M.
No, what? There are people
named Tom, T-H-O-M.
That spell it Thom.
Yep, I've seen
that's
it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. But that's why Haney just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, that's not me.
All right, T-O-M. you must get at least two right to be eligible for a prize. You defeat Haney, you will be the big winner and get a prize of your choice. You ready, Tom?
Yes, sir.
All right. Haney starts things off. The categories, geography, music,
geography.
Geography for Haney. Now, keep in mind, Tom, if Haney gets it wrong, you can steal and get the category.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's see. Haney, what is the world's smallest ocean? What is the world's smallest ocean? We're not talking about a sea. We're not talking about a pond, lake. The world's smallest ocean.
Arctic.
You are correct. It is the Arctic. Yes, indeed. Tom, category, geography, music, movies, acronyms, sports, wild card.
I'll go with geography as well.
Geography as well. Let's see. In geography, Tom, in which European city is the Brandenburg Gate located? In which European city is the Brandenburg Gate located?
That doesn't sound familiar. You know, Berlin. I don't know.
You are absolutely correct.
You said what country?
Huh? I said.
Really?
No, I did. Hold on. Which European city is the Brandenburg Gate?
Oh, you said city.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you're right, Tom.
Good job, Tom.
I don't know why. I
heard country.
Are
you kidding me?
You're right. It's in Berlin. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't say city. Or country.
I bet you
did.
No, I'm looking at it right here. All right, Haney.
Well, you wouldn't believe the answers we get from people, Tom.
music, movies, acronyms, sports.
Acronyms.
Wild acronyms. La-da-da. In acronyms. We hear it all the time, Haney, in computers. RAM. What is that?
Random access memory.
You are correct. In acronyms. Nice job. All right, Tom. Music, movies, acronyms, sports, wild card.
Wild card.
Tom has selected wild card. Tom, how many rings are on the Audi car logo? How many rings?
On the what?
Sorry? On the Audi. You know, have you ever heard of a car called an Audi?
Oh, yeah.
How many rings? And you know what? If you're trying to look these answers up,
I
need an answer right now.
Two.
Wrong. Haney in wild card, how many rings?
Five.
Wrong.
Six.
No. Karen?
Four.
There is. It's four. Haney, you have control. Music, movies, sports,
music.
Wild card. In music. Dun, 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 dun. Haney, what hymn was written by John Newton in 1748? What hymn was written by John Newton in 1748?
Amazing Grace.
You are absolutely correct.
Oh. He was a slave ship captain.
You are correct. Correct. In music. Tom, you got some catching up to do here. You need at least one more right answer. Music, movies, acronyms, sports, wild card. And you got Karen as a lifeline if you need to use her.
Let's try music.
All right. You want to try music as well. All right, Tom. Which orchestral instrument can play the highest note? Orchestral instrument. Which orchestral instrument can play the highest note?
Violin.
Yes.
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 He's killing it. Good job, Tom.
Violin. He's absolutely right.
I would have thought piccolo.
Really?
Haney. Good job, Tom. Haney, movies, sports, wild card.
I thought I got wild card.
No, you didn't get wild card.
What
you
category was that?
You have geography, music, and acronyms.
Didn't I steal one from him?
No, you did not.
Oh, okay. That was the Audi thing. That's right. I'd like to give Karen a shot here while
Karen,
we got categories
movies,
open.
Movies, sports, wild card.
I'm going to stick to wild card.
All right, wild card
Let's
for Haney. Let's see. La-ta-ta. For Haney,
yes.
Karen, what does the Q stand for in Q-tip? What does the Q stand for in Q-tip? There, back in the day, there were a lot of brands of cotton swabs. Q-tip was one of them. What does the Q stand for in Q-tip? For wild card.
The Q.
In Q-tip.
I have no idea.
Any answer will do that has a Q in it.
A word that starts with Q.
No, you're not.
I don't know.
Okay.
You can't. One word that starts with Q.
I mean, the only word that comes is queen, which...
Incorrect.
I'm happy with it.
Tom, you can...
I stand beside
hey,
you on
something.
It. Yes, you got an answer.
Tom, you can steal.
The only thing that came to my head, first thing came to my head was quilt.
Good guess. Incorrect. Haney, do you know?
Quality.
Yup.
Quality.
It is quality.
I would never guess that.
I was thinking of a physical thing.
Tom, you still have your lifeline. Movies, acronyms, sports, wild card.
I'm going to use my lifeline. She's due.
Okay.
All right. Let's stick to wild card for
you
Tom.
You want to go wild card for Tom as well? Okay. Karen. For Tom.
Yes.
Starbucks took its name from what novel? Starbucks took its name from what novel?
Well, see, arts and literature went away, huh?
Lies.
This is in wild card. Anything can happen.
Yeah, bad things.
Mockingjay. The Mockingjay.
The what?
The Mockingjay.
That's incorrect.
From the Hunger Games?
Haney, you have the category open. You can steal.
Moby Dick.
Yes.
Yes. Hey, I had the first letter right.
Yep, it is correct, Moby Dick. And you have control, Haney. Movies, sports.
Sports.
In sports. For Haney. All right, here we go. Haney in sports. How many of golf's majors did Jack Nicklaus win? Of golf's majors, how many did Jack Nicklaus win?
17.
That is incorrect. You can steal, Tom.
It's right around there. I think maybe 20.
Incorrect. It was right around there. Haney, you were off by one. 18. 18 majors. Tom, movies, acronyms, sports, wild card.
Let's try sports.
All right, sports for you as well. All right. Tom, what is the largest U.S. state capital? What is the largest U.S. state capital without a professional sports franchise? What is the largest U.S. state capital without a professional sports franchise?
State capital?
State capital. It's a capital of the state.
Yeah, right.
And it does not have a professional sports franchise. Largest one.
I'll try my home state, Harrisburg.
Incorrect. Haney, you can steal. Largest state capital without a professional sports franchise.
That's tough.
Yes, it is.
Because you're thinking about a lot of different things at once.
Very tough question, I think. For the steal. For the steal.
Richmond?
Incorrect. Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas. It's all right, Haney. You got control. Movies, sports.
Sports.
It's sports. Haney, in sports, how many games long is Joe DiMaggio's consecutive hitting streak? They say it'll never be broken. How many games long is Joe DiMaggio's consecutive hit streak?
I don't know. 65.
Incorrect. You can steal, Tom.
I don't know it either, but I'll say 74.
Incorrect. 56. 56 game hitting streak.
And what did I say?
60-something.
I was close.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tom, movies, acronyms, sports, wild card.
Let's stick with sports.
All right, we're going to stick with sports.
Ask me about the baseball statistics. Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that.
Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
I can hear you fine. But hold on. I'm
what do you need? Just
we're still
quick,
here.
Quick, hey, look at me there.
All right, it's going on right now. Tom, what is the playing surface for the French Open tennis tournament? What is the playing surface for the French Open tennis tournament?
Play.
What?
Clay.
You are correct. It is clay.
That is incorrect, Stan.
It's
it is the red clay of Roland Garros.
All right, Haney. Movies.
Thank you, Bud Collins.
Movies. Sports.
Sports.
Sports. Haney, in sports, what is Babe Ruth's Babe Ruth's first name?
His name is George Herman Ruth.
Yes, sir. And Haney has gone to match point, but Tom has control. Tom, movies, acronyms, or wild card?
I'll say wild card.
All right, in wild card, this has been a tough category today. Let's see, wild card. Tom, what is produced in a ginnery? What is produced in... Incorrect. Incorrect. Anybody? Karen?
No, that's probably what I would have said.
In a ginnery? Cotton.
Cotton.
The cotton gin.
Eli Whitney.
Yes, Haney. Here's the deal right now, Tom. Haney has control. He's at match point. It's in movies. You have the category open. If Haney answers correctly, he wins. If he misses it, you can steal and gain control of the board. This is in the category of movies for Mark Haney. Let's see.
Can I throw out a wild guess?
No.
All right.
What are you going to say?
Gone with the Wind?
Incorrect. Let's see. In movies. Haney. What is the name of, and we're talking about the franchise, not anything that was done beforehand, in the movie franchise, what is the name of the first James Bond film? We look at a franchise of the broccoli produced films, the James Bond films. What is the first James Bond film in the franchise?
Dr. No.
You are absolutely correct. It was Dr. No, 1962. You win, Haney.
Killing it.
You won it. It going away. But Tom, good news for you.
Mm-hmm.
You did You did get three right. Now that does not bad. That does that makes you eligible for a prize, and you'll get that prize if you say something to my friend Mark Haney over here.
Mark Haney, you are definitely smarter than me and one of the smartest people I know.
That is some kind words.
Worthy opponent.
I'm going to send you over to Rob. We've got a list of prizes you can choose from. Select one, and nice job.
Thank you.
All right, buddy, hold on. And Karen, thank you.
My pleasure.
I need you to get at least one right before we leave.
Let's do this. Hold on. We'll see.
Pick your category. What do you want?
Let's just keep wild card. Let's
okay,
do it.
Why?
Let's
You're
do it. I'm doing
for,
it to myself. I know.
Punishment. Oh, okay. This for ladies would know this.
Okay.
What is the rarest color for a diamond? The rarest color for a diamond.
Is it black?
Incorrect.
Oh. Chartreuse?
Incorrect. Green.
Oh,
green.
I was going to say red.
Let's see. Let's see. I don't know if you'd know this one. Why? And you want wild card here? Some of these are wild. What mythical creature, Nisseg, is better known by what name? N-I-S-E-A-G. Nisseg. What mythical creature, Nisseg, is better known by what name?
Dragon.
Loch Ness Monster.
Loch Ness Monster.
That's kind of a dragon.
Yeah,
kinda. How many colored squares are on a Rubik's Cube?
Too many.
4.
Incorrect. 54.
Dang.
Let's see.
Nah, see... He wasn't clear with
each
the question.
One of the cubes. I thought, how many cubes
okay,
are
I
colors?
Thought, like,
he was wondering how many different colors.
What is the last word, Karen, in the Bible's New Testament? The last word.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you, Karen.
You're very
welcome.
We're
going to take a break. We'll be back.
I told you she was a good girl. You see that?
Standing in.
Making Mr. Beasley a wealthy man for most of our adult lives. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney here. Wednesday afternoon, we're going to check traffic, get your first look at traffic. News headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer. Your emails all coming up on the show. Let's get things rolling right now. Let's get you updated on traffic.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, just one thing on the board right now, and it is a crash in Lehigh Acres. The 300 block of Lee Boulevard, right by Spectrum Speech. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes.
Bob Mueller's a joke.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it will be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchor man, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, Haney's got today's headlines for you right now.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Okay.
A woman from Northern Ireland, who married the ghost of a 300-year-old pirate, says the marriage has taken quite a toll on her and made her physically ill. When she realized it was time to leave, the ghost threatened to kill her.
Oh, my God. Well, that's what you get for marrying him.
You knew what you were getting into.
Come on.
Pizza Hut has redone its pizza recipe for the first time in 40 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And we got another incident of new Coke?
We'll see.
In less than an hour.
An 81-year-old man follows his GPS to the wrong place, 1,000 miles from his destination.
What?
And it ends in a crash.
Really?
Mm-hmm. A man in Canada was fired for his clearly audible self-pleasuring sessions at work. His defense?
Yeah.
He didn't see anything wrong with it. And finally, you know, so many things have changed as far as what is acceptable and what is not.
Oh, you got that right.
You know, they used to say, spare the rod and spoil the child, but it's looked down upon now.
Mm-hmm.
A woman in Largo disciplined her son on Sunday with a belt.
Ooh.
For missing his curfew.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people have a problem with that, including the law. Her disciplining her own son with a belt.
Yeah.
Should probably also point out he's 26.
Ah, well.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter. Yeah. So very important, especially in the middle of your day. That's why we now bring to you the 4 o'clock fluffer, brought to you by Coastal Cooling and Daikin.
Mark.
Stan.
Everyone.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies.
You know, it's that time of year again.
It sure is.
The summer travel season is here, and that may require making a hotel reservation. With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
things to consider before booking a hotel.
Top things to consider before booking a hotel.
Does the place have a number at the end of its name? Charging by the hour is never a good deal. No. Does the creepy guy at the front desk talk to a mother who doesn't seem to exist? Can you afford the rate of the hotel and the hooker?
Laugh it up.
Yep, well, important question to answer.
Does it provide plenty of towels so you can line the doors and windows so no one can smell the weed? Do they have a sign posted noting the number of days since the last murder? Do you have an extra $7,000 in case you should take a bag of cashews from the mini bar?
Know all about that.
And finally, the very top thing to consider before booking a hotel.
Yes.
Does it accept cash so your wife will never find out about it?
Laugh it up.
And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Albert, I left the building.
Email time, ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay, okay.
You, Freddy? This, I got things to say about this email. This is from our friend Meg, who lives in Alabama. Guys, I have a suggestion on a faster way to get Dave, the waterman, to give you the pictures of all the gifts you, Stan, and you, Haney, have given him over the years. You can use it if you want. How about every day Dave doesn't produce a picture of the gifts with a picture of him holding a piece of paper with a date and time stamp? Equal it out to the amount of days he has to treat you, Stan, to charter fishing. For example, one day, no picture. One day, Dave pays for Stan's charter fishing. Day two, no picture. Dave pays for Stan's 2 days of charter fishing. Not going to happen, Meg. He won't pay for anything. And can I make a little footnote on this?
And I appreciate your forethought in that because I can't afford it.
Yeah, I know. Can I make a little footnote on this? As you know, according to Dave, this Saturday, I'm supposed to go shark fishing.
Oh, it's a done deal.
Do you know that off the air, when we're not doing the show, which I don't necessarily want or expect, but off the air, he hasn't brought it up once to me, has not told me where I need to go, what time I need to be there, what I need to bring, and whose boat, what marina, or anything that I'm going out from. He has not, off the air, brought any of the details up to me. I'd like to know. What should I pack? I've never gone shark fishing before. What do I need to bring in a cooler?
I know
what where am I supposed to drop my car off and meet the boat?
I know he's concerned that you're going to be uncomfortable because it's a bare bones setup.
So? That bare bones. Let me be the judge of that.
He said when he went out that it was a little rough and a little wet.
Yeah.
He's a little worried about you falling overboard because there's no railing.
Right, no railing. I haven't heard any of that either. Do you know?
The way he describes it is you're going out on a flat platform.
Really?
Yeah.
Out 15, 20 miles.
Yes.
On a flat platform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In waves.
Yep.
I don't know this. I have not
been.
The
way he describes it is pontoons and just a flat deck.
Uh-huh.
And he's worried you might fall in.
Uh-huh. With sharks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then I did hear that he would have to bait my hook.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard off the air a thing about where, when, how, anything. Mark my words, it's Wednesday. And I've heard nothing.
Oh, you're going, brah.
Yep.
Unless you're scared.
Love the show. Keep up the good work.
That's all I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
You're going unless you're scared. Because he doesn't know if you can handle the intensity.
He's an ass. He's a complete ass. Look at this. Our buddy Les from Brigantine, New Jersey, has emailed us back. Ahoy, guys. Just wanted to let Rob know exit 40 is Brigantine Beach in New Jersey. Exit 40. Everybody from Jersey's supposed to know their exit. You next time, exit 40.
Good to know. I'll write that down.
I can't believe you didn't know. Exit 40. It is 40 miles from Cape May and right next to Atlantic City.
Oh, that's where Tony's from.
That's right. That's where the original Cape Crepe and Chowder's from.
Yeah, Cape May.
Yeah. Yes, by the way, I heard you guys talking about it. My full name is Leslie. So was my father's, and he thought he'd curse me with that same name. Never cared for it. And yes, I was tortured as a child. Take care. Signed, Les.
Mm. Glad we brought back some good memories for you.
Yeah, because we don't even know the guy, and we started teasing him about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry, Les. And next time we're up in Jersey, we'll take exit 40,
mm-hmm.
Your town.
Reminds me of my first program director. You remember him, don't you?
What was his name?
Les Ismore.
ladies and gentlemen.
Old radio,
yeah,
Jeff.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the Guardian.
Jesus.
It's about Dave. Now, I think the Guardian is taking Dave at face value on the air. Like much how I, off the air, don't know anything about this shark fishing thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the Guardian goes by what he hears on the air. Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, you know, normally I have harsh words for Dave the Waterman about some of his actions. However, this latest incident with the broad who called the show wanting to meet Dave was something different. In my opinion, he handled it like an adult and not thinking with his penis. Quite frankly, it really surprised me. He did the right thing, being very cautious, talking to her first and getting a feel for her mindset, finding out a little bit about her and deciding if he wanted to go and take the next step. Which sounds like he has decided not to do so. Jeez. So Dave, I commend you for making the right decision. You see, Dave, that's the kind of common sense and logic you need to use in the rest of your life. You guys are the best. Signed, The Guardian.
Give me here for a second.
Okay.
Because I've been dying to show this to you. And I just want to get your first reaction. This is from today.
Oh, geez, that's the guy on fire.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Now, do you see that somehow his arms aren't on fire and his crotch is not on fire? Right. He's got to have some sort of suit on.
I would think that. He's still going to get burned. The guy lived, right?
Yeah, they took
this
him to the hospital anyway.
He lit himself on fire in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, he did it around noon today.
Okay.
But he's standing
he's
up.
In flames.
He's standing up in flames.
Yep.
Walking around.
Attaboy. We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
Southwest Florida's only radio show powered by alternative energy. Our show is produced through a volatile combination of superheated air and methane. Stan and Haney on 96K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Wednesday afternoon. Get you updated on traffic for your drive home. Then I'm going to tell you about the Cat Daddy Challenge. If you're familiar with this, we've participated in this for a lot of years now. And another one is coming up. I'll have details for you here in just a second. But first, let's get you updated for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock Traffic.
Okay, one thing on the board, it should be clearing now. It was a hit and run in Estero at the 10,000 block of Corkscrew Road, right there by Miramar Outlets. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. We've participated in this thing in the past. It's a lot of fun. 96K Rock invites you to participate in the annual Coastal Outfitters Cat Daddy Challenge. Got another one coming up. You're going to catch catfish. It's going to happen Saturday, June the 15th at Port Sanibel Marina. This year, more than $5,000 in prizes. Registration will end at 8 p.m. on June 14th. As you know, if you're familiar with this, they have the captain's party. This time it's going to be at Fathoms in Cape Coral on Friday, June 14th at 6 p.m. If you want to participate in the Cat Daddy Challenge, registration is now open at 96krock.com. Simple as that. Ahoy!
Hey!
Hey, everybody! It's Tony D'Amico from Cape Crepe and Chowder in beautiful Cape Coral. Originally, his daddy ran one in Cape May, New Jersey.
Right.
And then when he was too old to manage the store, he gave it to his son, Tony, who ran it into the ground, had to leave New Jersey, and came to Cape Coral, where he continued his success. How you been, buddy?
Dad, I have been going through absolute hell.
What are you talking about? What's wrong?
I need your advice on something.
Okay.
And I need you to be straight with me.
All right, but let me ask you this. You never take my advice. If I give you advice this time, Tony, will you take my advice?
Yay.
Okay, that means no. What do you need my advice on, old man?
I've heard you talk about the fact that you went to college to be some sort of psychiatrist.
I was going to be a psychologist, and yes, I got my degree in psychology, but that's neither here nor there because it's been a long time ago.
Okay.
But I did get, I was schooled up until the 80s on that stuff, yes.
Okay. So maybe you can help me figure out what's going on here.
Figure out?
Right.
I'll help you figure out something.
Okay.
All right, what's the matter, Tony? I mean, is it something with the business? Is Big Tim acting up? Is the is the 7-Up man still there?
Yes, it's Timmy.
Oh.
He got me very concerned.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been monitoring his behavior.
You drinking or crying?
Both.
You've been monitoring his behavior.
And it's become very concerning.
All right. Does he live at your house now?
He always has.
No, I know. No, he didn't. He had to go back to his place where he was from. He just came over to do work for you.
Well, that's years and years ago. He just never left.
Okay, and so he stays at your house. Have you illegally adopted him?
No, I just feel responsible for him.
Okay.
Right. And so I've been monitoring his behavior. I've been very concerned.
Okay.
And so I decided today to make some phone calls.
Jeez, you want and a phone?
I guess that these days you're not supposed to make phone calls. You're supposed to do everything on a web.
You can email on the web. You email somebody. You can make a phone call. You're going to be put on hold and all that if you're making a bunch of phone calls. Best to email, text,
well,
all that stuff.
When I called, they said everything must go through the portal.
Yeah, well, there's a portal that's online, and yes. What is it, for health reasons? A portal, a lot of times that'll be like for, medical things and all of that stuff. Like
exactly.
Like at my doctor, I want to find out about my appointment. I'll go to my doctor's portal that has my name on it, and I can see everything that's happened.
Okay, well, I don't know what that is, and they kept telling me it had to go through that. Finally, I called back his medical center, and I said, I'm sorry, I don't know what a portal is, and I need to speak to a head shrinker.
You know, first of all, they should have explained to it, but you're not good with the computer, and you'd like to speak with a psychologist or a psychiatrist. Are you smoking?
Are you kidding? Absolutely, with my noise.
Okay, All right, so you call the medical center. You ask to speak to a psychiatrist.
I asked to speak to a head shrinker.
Head shrinker.
And the lady starts
hang up
telling
on you.
Me, well, she tells me that I'm being inappropriate
yes.
and problematic.
Well, you are problematic, and that is inappropriate.
And I said, so, is he not available? And she says, what makes you so sure that it's a he? You know, there are very capable women psychiatrists, too. I said,
that's
oh,
true.
Christ
that's
sake.
True. But it's true,
so
Tony.
So, fraud is mouthing off to me, and I said, you know what? If you can't put me through to the head shrinker,
a psychiatrist,
I would be just as happy if you could put me through to his secretary so I could make an appointment.
Okay. For yourself? You need a head shrinker?
No, it's for Timmy.
You can't go around calling a psychiatrist up for Timmy. I just went through that. You're not his guardian.
But look, this broad, she starts in on me.
Rightfully so.
And there's a moment of silence because I said, just put me through the secretary.
Yes.
And there's a moment of silence and she just says, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't use secretary anymore.
What?
Secretary. That's not a term used anymore. Secretary. That's an old, that's another problematic term.
And she says, I cannot connect you to his secretary. However, I would gladly put your call through to his administrative assistant.
That's the proper word to use now, administrative assistant. That's the word. Secretary is an old word.
And I said, look, lady, I don't know if you're trying to upcharge me or what.
How do you figure she's upcharging you?
I don't need to speak to some fancy administrative assistant. I just need somebody that can take a pen in her hand and write down, Tony needs appointment for Timmy.
Okay. And did that get you somewhere?
And then she hung up on me.
Of course she did. One, you can't make appointments for Timmy because you're not his legal parent. You have not adopted. There's no papers drawn up. He just hasn't gone away. Two, he has to go and have all the forms done, and he has to be the one to make an appointment. That would come from his primary physician to go and speak with somebody, a head shrinker.
Well,
you have nothing in the matter. You have nothing in the matter, and I would have hung up on you, too.
Well, luckily, Kate Quarrel has grown, and there's more than one head shrinker in town.
So you called somebody up. You should have an appointment for yourself. You should go and talk to a head shrinker.
You know, maybe I should, but I think it's probably too little too late at this point.
You may be right. Okay, but I know you're looking at for Timmy's welfare. You do, other than having him just basically be a work hand, a gopher, you do care about his well-being. I mean, God forbid he turn up sick. What would happen to you?
So I call head shrinker number two,
okay.
And his secretary starts reading me the riot act, just like you did, about how I can't do this
and
I can't do that. And eventually she says, there may be one way that you can help this gentleman who is not a blood relative, blah, blah, blah. And she suggested that I get in touch with a Mr. Baker.
No. That's a Baker act.
She said if I call Mr. Baker, he's the only one.
Yes.
That could, send the guys with the straitjackets out, you know.
They would take Big Tim and ask him a few questions. They're not.
They're coming to take me away. Ha ha. Ho ho.
Yeah, take you away. That would be if Big Tim was a danger to himself or others, you could go and have him evaluated. I think it's for 48 hours. But you don't want to do that either. He's not anybody or threatening to kill himself, you idiot.
I'm still not getting anywhere because every Dr. Baker I call doesn't know what I'm talking about.
It's the Baker Act. Okay, so did you get anywhere with anybody? Because you're calling me.
The one Dr. Baker that I got through is a podiatrist.
Right. It's not Dr. Okay, what can
he says I'm no head shrinker.
Oh, for Pete's sake. What can I do for you? What do you want from me?
Well, because you have training in this.
Yeah, but I'm not a doctor.
Well, the doctors that I have talked to, Stan, They all got rocks in their head because I'm just trying to call a head shrinker because I need Timmy's head examined.
All right, you need Big Tim to talk to someone.
He needs to have his friggin' head examined.
What is the problem, Tony? Maybe, did you, what?
Well, I'll tell you what the problem is this damn YouTube.
Okay, a YouTube. So he's on the computer watching YouTube. You can't even bring up a patient portal. He's on the computer watching YouTube. Who's mentally slow here? You.
Well, I guess I am.
Yeah, you are.
Because he conned me and said he needed the phone for emergencies, and now all he does is look at YouTube. And YouTube puts crazy thoughts in his head.
Like
he's seen
what?
A video.
Yes.
Of I don't even know how to describe it, Dan. I never seen nothing like it.
Are you saying he's watching inappropriate videos on YouTube?
Absolutely. And there is a video of a man with female breasts, and he's running track against all of these normal women, and the guy wins the race. They're putting medals on him, and Timmy yes. says, you know what? If I just tell people I'm a girl, I could be like an Olympic wrestler.
Tony, I know what you're talking about, and I'm so bothered by it, too.
And Stan, I'll have you know this. The head shrinkers are crazy, because the one doctor I finally got through to, when I finally tell him the whole story about Timmy wanting to put on a dress and wrestle women, he starts talking to me about how much hormone therapy costs.
Are you telling me?
I said, I want you to fix the problem, not go along with his delusions.
Tony, you're a guy that grew up in the 50s and 60s. All right, it was different then. Now you can go and whatever you identify, put the smoke down, whatever you can identify with, that's who you are. That's why they're now saying, you know what, you can go and use the men's room. You're a girl. Guy can go and use the girls' room. And now they're allowing transgender men to go and participate in sporting events, women sporting events, and they're beating all these women because it's really a man running against girls.
Well, he showed me the YouTube video. He's got a point because this fellow, he was a mile ahead of the nearest
female. I saw the track and field one where the guy, a man won, and left all the other girls in the dust, and there are a lot of women's groups that are saying this is wrong. That this should be included in all of that stuff.
And then they're interviewing this fella afterwards, and all he does is talk like a sissy.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he's, you know, what he prefers, gay, straight, but he's running as he's a man in girl events, and he's winning. What?
Then,
so Big Tim wants to go and identify as a woman?
He only wants to do it because he knows he's stronger than girls.
Well, you can't do it that way. You have to live your whole life, you know. Everything and you do is about girls.
And then I got this doctor who, and you know what? Timmy will get over this real quick when the doctor explains how he's going to cut it off.
Yeah.
I know Timmy don't want that.
That's years away, though, for Big Tim. And I think, let me ask you.
Are you telling me that I should go out and buy him a skirt and call him?
I'm not saying that. Let's.
Oh, yes. This is Tammy. Yes, we don't notice the fact that Tammy is 6'9".
Well, hey, there's an angle for you. Why don't you, around the restaurant and around the house, call him Tammy? And then he'll get mad about that, and you're saying, well, you want to be a girl? Well, your name's Tammy now.
Now, see, that's common sense. That might work.
You call him everything he does. Call him Tammy.
Yeah.
When he's at the restaurant working, when he's at home, because I know he sleeps in the same bedroom as you, and today, hey, lie down next to me, Tammy.
You know what? Why couldn't the doctor tell me that? Just make fun of him.
Yeah, just tease him because
he's being stupid.
Yes, he is. But the other thing is, Tony, because he is mentally disabled and documented as such, doesn't he have a doctor that you can go to? Not a head shrinker, but somebody. He has to have a chart on him somewhere where you can go.
Well, His pediatrician passed away about 6 years ago.
So it's just you?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I call him Tammy.
Thank God.
Call him Tammy. Take him to the park and have him practice. Put him in a skirt and say, run, Tammy, run. It will make him so mad and so upset that he'll stop talking about this until you start calling him Tim again.
Yeah, maybe I'll get out one of my good, sharp Ginsu knives and go, okay, I'm going to fix it all for you, Tammy.
There you go.
You don't want that, do you?
Yeah. There, problem solved. It's going to be nice and peaceable at your place.
Oh, thank God for you, Stan.
Yep. And don't worry about it, Tony. Everything's fine. There will probably eventually be police at your place, and you will get arrested.
Come on. They all got rocks in their heads.
Yeah, but you got the right answer, and you got it from somebody that is not a doctor. You got it from Stan.
You may not be a doctor, but you're far more reputable
what?
than these idiots.
Good luck, Tony. We'll be back.
I heard a commotion on the platform. I was not yet on the platform. I did not yet put in my Metro card. I saw a lot of transit employees running in the opposite direction. I saw this guy. He was coming outside. I was coming inside. We looked at each other. He didn't speak. And then he started to power saw me. He didn't open his mouth. We never said words to each other. He just started to power saw me. In the beginning, I asked him, listen, take my money. You can have it all. Take my credit cards. He didn't open his mouth. He just continued to power saw me and drill me a good 10 to 15 minutes.
It's a new era for America and Southwest Florida. As for Stan and Haney, unfortunately, their problems remain much the same. Stan and Haney in the afternoon, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciated.
They wouldn't really give someone who's mentally deficient hormones, would they?
No. No.
I mean, I can see why Tony's a little upset. Yeah. He just wanted his head examined.
You know, I should have told Tony, fool Big Tim. Just give him a bottle of Pamperin. That'll fix it. What the hell? He continued to power saw me, and then he drilled me.
Yep.
Okay, all right.
Did you see the guy that set himself on fire today, Junior?
Did you see that? No, hold on.
Got a pretty cool picture.
You have a picture of it?
Yeah.
Oh, he's on fire.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's like less than a mile from the White House.
What a message.
I don't know what he's saying, but look at that. Yeah. I think that's the message, isn't it?
Good job. Good job, Dave.
He's your special friend. If he didn't exist, we'd have to invent him for you.
Yeah.
Special little bitch.
He'd be the guy telling the reporters somebody power sawed him.
Yep. He's seen the whole thing.
And drilled him.
Well, he's done it before. He's been on TV news, site of an accident, saying how he saw everything.
Yep.
but, you know, the service that he provides you is unbelievable. You know, you have such a wonderful relationship. You're actually getting married.
Yeah.
Because you get it all out of your system yelling at Dave.
But you know what? There's a lot of people that have come across us in our lives. Look at Junior over here. I don't agree with a single thing he believes in. But he doesn't get under my skin. I don't fight him. You know, and he came into our lives and it was like, okay. All right, you know, I don't agree with anything he said, but it's not like I want to physically go after him.
You
want
to physically go after Dave?
Dave gets me so mad.
You want to hit him?
There have been occasions. Yes, there have been. Yeah.
You still fishing on Saturday?
I don't know. I don't know.
It's probably not going to happen.
I don't think it's going
to. I was told that it will. But see, the thing about Junior is, we can disagree with everything that he believes,
yeah,
but he's very honest.
Yep.
I don't know about that.
Oh, you don't?
No. Remember the time you
asked him? Are you going to go over?
Remember the time you asked him to mail a few things, and he said, I mailed them and took care of it, and you gave him money for postage?
I gave him more than enough, yeah.
And it was never mailed, but yet he told you to your face.
Was that ever mailed?
Yeah, it was mailed, yeah.
Just not when you thought it was.
Right.
What happened there?
Buns, yeah.
What are you talking about? He gave you the money for the post. Never mind.
So you appropriated the postage money for personal use until such a time that you could then afford to mail it yourself.
I looked at it as kind of like a loan.
Okay.
Like I said, yeah. Honest as the day is long, Stan.
Get you updated on traffic.
And Dave's
here.
A good boy.
He is not.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
You saying he's a little sketchy?
Who, Junior?
Yeah.
Look, I take everybody at face value.
One instance.
Sketchy.
One instance that we know of.
Yeah. That we know of. Fort Myers.
But Junior's my friend. So luckily, I have a policy where my friends can't steal from me.
Right, because you're giving.
Yep.
Fort Myers.
He can't steal from me.
Crash, Three Oaks Parkway, and Alico Road. That's all that's on the board. Mark Haney and the news. Brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
This is the Evening News with Eric Severide in New York. George Herman in Washington. Leslie Stahl in Washington. Fred P. Graham in Atlanta. Peter Kalischer in Paris. Tom Fenton in Paris, Robert Shackney in Des Moines, and tonight, a special report, The Energy Crisis.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Wednesday, May 29th.
Double M-X-I-X.
Telling it like it is. I'm Mark Haney. Stan, if I remember correctly, you have seen the Mona Lisa.
I have, in the Louvre.
And you were not impressed.
Nope. Not in the least bit.
Not that big a deal.
It's not that big of a painting to begin with. And it's not impressive. There is so much
you would
other
argue
art that is better than
that's
that.
That's far more impressive.
Absolutely.
So why is it that people all over the world that don't even care about art, if you bring up the Mona Lisa, everybody knows what you're talking
everybody
about.
Everybody knows what you're talking about.
Well, why is that?
Well, it started with the discussion of did she smile? Is she smiling? And even art critics will say it's not that great of a painting. The background doesn't even match up. And I think I've talked about this before. We don't know if it's the real Mona Lisa that's hanging in the Louvre.
Well, the reason that it is so ubiquitous, world famous, the Mona Lisa was stolen from the Louvre.
It sure was.
In August of 1911, by Vincenzo Perugia, and it wasn't recovered until December of 1913. There was tremendous coverage of this, which helped make it the most famous painting in the world.
Yeah, and they don't know if it's even the real one. And because, and people in the past have tried to attack it, they've tried to go, you know, it's all behind glass now. It's the only one. There are famous works of art that you can walk right up to, and I did, and put your hand right on it. Not with the Mona Lisa. You can't get near it.
Baby Ruth candy bars.
Mm-hmm. Named after Grover Cleveland's daughter. We've talked about it.
Mm-hmm. That's what they say. The people behind Baby Ruth candy bars have always claimed they weren't named after Babe Ruth.
Absolutely not.
Despite the fact that everybody associated them with it. Their story is they were named after President Grover Cleveland's daughter, Ruth. Despite the fact that Ruth died of diphtheria 17 years before the candy bar came out. Kind of an odd person to name a candy bar.
But we all remember.
Mm-hmm.
So it was paying tribute. I mean, stuff comes out now about Princess Diana.
Stuff comes out now?
You know, where you can go and something, remembrance thing.
Oh, yeah. Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, the National Enquirer Museum has a huge Princess Diana death attraction.
Sure.
Now it maps out the crash and all that.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't see it. I read about it. But yeah, they're just paying tribute to it. You know, you have a president's daughter that dies of diphtheria. She's remembered.
Yeah. Makes me want to eat candy. Diphtheria.
Yeah, well, it was a different world back in the teens.
It sure was, Stan. It sure was. That was before Irma.
Yep. Yes.
You are one of the few people, I think, that actually would know this. Where does the phrase hands down come from? Ah, the winning hands down.
I think it... You like these kind of things, don't you, Junior? These where the words come from, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds interesting.
Hold on. It has to do with riding a horse. I think riding a horse.
Mm-hmm. The phrase "hands down" comes from horse racing. If a jockey was so far in the lead. You know, like secretary at the Belmont. Mm-hmm. He could drop his hands down and loosen the reins, meaning he was winning hands down.
Yeah, and that's with anything. When you have those reins up tight and up on the neck.
Mm-hmm. And they don't even use it in horse racing much anymore. They just say, oh, look at him under a hand ride.
Yep.
You know, you hear an awful lot about the secret government weed farms.
Yeah.
And it's true. The government grows and uses marijuana in research, and it all comes from the lab at the University of Mississippi. And if you're wondering, not that good.
Really?
Apparently pretty, pretty weak.
Ah.
We do not take the time, and I say this frequently because it's true. We don't take the time to wonder. Look up at the night sky and try to make sense of it, and you'll realize...
It blows your mind. You know, you do that. You ever been outside? You might be with friends at a picnic or a gathering, or you might be out by the lake and, you know, or camping, and you look up at the sky. And if you think about it long enough, it's going to screw with you.
Because we walk around during our daily lives and we think this is normal. This is what things are like everywhere. And you look up in the night sky and you realize, no, we are the exception.
It always, to this day, not because I love the astronauts and all that stuff, it always amazes me. I could be driving down Daniels. I can be driving down Metro. And I look out in the horizon when there's a full moon there.
Mm.
And I say,
oh my God.
People go, oh, isn't it a beautiful full moon? And I'm like thinking to myself, no, this is a piece of another land, another world.
A celestial body.
It's sitting right there. You can go and fly to it, land on it, walk around on it, and it's sitting out there in outer space.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind-blowing.
I think the time it really got to me, it was like one of those supermoons, and I was on my way to the other coast, and I was way out. I think I was like around Felda.
Right.
And it just, the moon took up the whole sky.
Yep. It's so, you think about it too long because, you know, people go, oh, isn't that a beautiful full moon? Not think about it. It's just there.
Mm-hmm.
You think about it, you go nuts.
And the same thing with time, but I digress.
Right.
Most of what you see when you're looking up is nothing. Hmm? I mean, yeah, there are stars out there, but the vast majority of what you're looking at, there's nothing. And when it comes to the amount of mass in the solar system, meaning just matter, the sun is responsible for 99.9% of it. All the planets, including Jupiter, which is huge.
Gaseous.
All the planets, moons, asteroids, comets, rocks, 0.1%.
Wow. That's kind of weird, too. But,
mm-hmm.
but space is so huge.
Yeah, but we think it's normal to sit in a room with a couple of microphones.
Yeah.
In a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
We are asked often if the Diamond District is a retail or wholesale jewelry store. Well, we're both.
We're wholesale diamond brokers selling to the public, and the Diamond District sells to jewelry stores around the country. We have the largest selection of GIA and Forever Mark loose certified diamonds, all priced at wholesale, below what you'll find on the internet.
On the retail side, you can visit the Diamond District every day. We have a beautiful showroom where you can relax, work with an educated team of professionals, including two GIA graduate gemologists, and view the largest selection of GIA and Forevermark loose certified diamonds, along with the largest selection of diamond fashion jewelry in Southwest Florida.
The Diamond District selection includes over 3,000 engagement rings from world-renowned designers, including Tacori, Verragio, and many more. With the selection, wholesale pricing, and comfortable environment, you simply won't find a better diamond buying experience than with the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News
on the Stan and Haney Show.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, it seems like in the politically correct world, that we're told you should avoid stereotypes, okay?
That's what made America great.
It sure is. That's why we're trying to make it great again. But stereotypes are there for a reason.
Yes.
For instance, there's a stereotype that maybe elderly drivers aren't on the ball.
And they're not.
An 81-year-old man from Newcastle, England, got it into his head that it would be a great idea for him to get in his car in Newcastle, England, and drive to Rome to see the Pope.
All righty.
It made perfect sense
sure,
to him.
Sure.
And he wasn't messing around. He said, hey, I'm 81. There's a chance I may take a wrong turn between Newcastle and Rome. So, this genius had a GPS.
Wait, to get over into Europe proper, you're going to have it from England. You're going to have to go over the English Channel. You're going to have
you go under it.
Or you can go under
Trouble.
It. I understand that. That is a major undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
Even to go under where they have the checkpoint chicky there when you go underneath the English Channel, or you take the ferry over with your car on it or something. That's a major thing for some old guy saying he's going to do and going, where, Rome?
Mm-hmm. He's an 81-year-old man, got a wild hair, decided that he was going to drive and say hello to the Pope.
All right.
So he got out his trusty GPS. Nobody's fool. And went ahead and typed in R-O-M, Rome. And the GPS did its job. It guided the man directly to Rome, R-O-M, a town in northwest Germany. That's roughly 1,000 miles from Rome. When he arrived, he was highly confused that the Vatican was nowhere in sight.
Didn't see any signs, billboards, nothing. Nothing looked familiar.
Now, he decided the safe thing to do was to stop the car, get out, and take a really good look around for the Vatican.
Yep, not around. Not around.
When he did that, he forgot to set the parking brake. It rolled down a hill and crashed into a sign. He's confused, but fine.
He's stuck in the Black Forest. A lot of cuckoo clocks. Hasn't seen one billboard for the Pope.
Yep. Get a stein of beer.
Yeah.
It seems that we are constantly redefining what is and is not acceptable behavior in society, and especially the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
A man in Canada is suing his former company after they fired him.
Yeah.
They fired him for cause.
Okay.
That cause being engaging in overly loud self-pleasure sessions in one of the bathroom stalls at work.
I mean, even the guy that worked at the AM station.
You had a towel.
He had a towel and
noise
dampener. Kept it quiet.
Yeah. Apparently.
That's true, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, let me tell you, and this is the truth. You have people that want to make radio their career, and then you have people that want to have a job in radio. And the people that want a job in radio, you get every freak,
vagabond,
gypsy, tramp, thief,
ne'er-do-well.
Yep. And they all are gravitated to this business. Again, there's a distinction. This is my career. This is the vocation that I've chosen for my life. And then you have the ones that go, I got a job in radio. These people run the gamut of strange. And we had a guy that was hired to board up baseball games.
Mm-hmm. That's all he was expected to do.
And he would go
with his towel.
With his towel into the room.
Carried around like a blankie.
Shut off the lights. And
make himself at home.
Make himself and doing Lord knows what. And then, of course, you know, you'd have people.
We're expected to ignore it.
You'd have people come around and, oh, what's going on? Oh, there he is. He's doing good work. We didn't miss that commercial break there for the ball game. And then they'd go away, people in charge, and then he'd be back to his regular routine.
And then he'd win the raffle at the Christmas
then
party.
Then we have a Christmas party where they do a raffle, and this guy makes away with half the raffle
prize.
You
prizes. Know, people that have been working here for years get nothing, and this perv walks off with a cash prize.
Yep.
Junior knows what I'm talking about. It's the way it works around here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently,
yeah,
he'd done this, let's just say, more than once. It became an issue. So a manager sat him down and delicately explained there had been noise complaints.
Right.
Noises that included moaning and heavy breathing. He told the manager that he understood completely and then went back and continued to do it.
Yep.
So his, they canned
with his form of slapstick.
Mm-hmm. In the lawsuit, he claims he had no idea it was an issue.
What?
Because the manager used euphemisms and didn't specifically say it was about pleasuring himself.
You're trying to be delicate in that situation.
He also explained he thought it was perfectly fine as long as no one was in the stall directly next to him. If somebody else came in to use the urinal, well, it's none of their business. I'm in a stall. They're not in the stall next to me. If his logic was true, nothing would have happened because no one would know he was ever there.
Right.
His lawyers also threw out that he probably has a sex addiction, and that would be a disability,
yep,
meaning he's a protected class.
Yeah, he's covered.
The arbitrator in charge of the case said there was no evidence that his alleged addiction was disabling in any way. In the end, they ruled the company did have cause to fire him.
Yeah.
And dismissed the case earlier this month.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, we were talking about it recently, where I was threatened with physical punishment at school.
Right, and then they couldn't do it. And then they just said, don't say anything.
And now parents get in trouble for using corporal punishment, yeah, even at home.
Have you ever corporal punished the millennial junior?
That means spanking.
Well, I got the bell a couple times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good, yeah.
I've got it.
Okay.
There's a woman named Valerie Branch Galloway. She lives in Largo. And her stepson arrived home a leisurely half hour after curfew expired on Sunday night.
Oh. Oh.
She was not pleased.
I could imagine.
And you know what they say. If mama ain't happy,
nobody's happy.
So she grabbed her belt to give him a good spanking. Now she whipped him 11 times before he asked her to stop.
11 lashes.
Well, guess what? She is the mother and you are the child. She said, no, you were 30 minutes late.
Yeah.
So you get 30 licks.
Yeah.
Meaning at the point he started to whine, he had 19 licks to go. Believe it or not, he wound up calling the police on
big
his
baby,
own mother.
Big baby.
And Valerie was arrested for domestic battery on her 26-year-old stepson.
What? How old?
26. Hey, he broke curfew. You want to live like a little bitch, you get treated like a little bitch.
Oh, God.
And that's the news for today, Wednesday, May 29th.
Double M-X-I-X.
Little Monkey Haney. I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, Little Monkey Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news this afternoon.
You know, when she gets out, we should send her a Board of Education. So she can retire the belt.
I had one in my house. My parents had one.
Yeah. Well, here's how you tell if your parents were hardcore enough. on their Board of Education? Did they drill holes in it to make it go faster?
It had holes in it, and it had a writing right on it with the picture of them, instructions on how to properly use. We'll be back.
Board of Education. Yeah.
Stan and Haney.
Two men, two microphones, and way too much baggage.
A nice enough guy, but way too much baggage, if you know what I mean.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for spending your afternoon with us. Rob, Exit 40 show coming up at 6 o'clock to take you through your evening. We've got one more look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Okay, and then I go home and I'll learn all about how Robert Mueller opened up a can of worms.
No, he didn't. He said the same thing over and over again.
Disabled vehicle, Fort Myers, Bass Road, and Summerlin Road. And you are up to date. Let's laugh.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
And I like even better than drinking, liquor ads. Liquor advertising is the only product. They just know who they're selling to. They don't make any, you know what I mean? Like, hey, drunkie, get this in you so you'll be fun. Come on. Get it down your throat. You don't see, like, Cheetos going, hey, man boobs, Cheetos, cracker. Come on. Come on, fatty cracker bag. Every liquor ad is just based, there's billboards for alcohol all over L.A., and it's all, they're like the saddest short stories you've ever read. These billboards. There's one for Dewars. Oh, there's a big sweaty glass of Dewars with ice. That looks good. But then the tagline makes you never want to drink. Because the tagline says, Dewars, at least one thing will go smoothly today. What went wrong with your life that you're, is that how you think it? I hate my job, I can't stand that hedgehog of a wife anymore, but you're my buddy Dewars, you're my pal. I'm going to sneak you into the movies in my tummy.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this. Ahoy.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, everybody. It's Tony D'Amico from Cape Crepe and Chowder in beautiful Cape Coral. Originally, his daddy ran one in Cape May, New Jersey.
I need your advice on something.
Okay.
Talk about the fact that you went to college to be some sort of psychiatrist.
I was going to be a psychologist, and yes, I got my degree in psychology.
It's Timmy. He got me very concerned.
Uh-huh.
He needs to have his friggin' head examined.
What is the problem, Tony?
YouTube puts crazy thoughts in his head.
Like
he's seen
what?
A video,
yes,
of a man with female breast, and he's running track against all of these normal women, and the guy wins the race. They're putting medals on him, and Timmy,
yes,
says, you know what? If I just tell people I'm a girl, I could be like an Olympic wrestler.
And Tony, I know what you're talking about, and I'm bothered by it, too.
And Stan, I'll have you know this. The head shrinkers are crazy because the one doctor I finally got through to, when I finally tell him the whole story about Timmy wanting to put on a dress and wrestle women, he starts talking to me about how much hormone therapy costs.
Are you telling
me? I said, I want you to fix the problem, not go along with his delusions.
Tony, You're a guy that grew up in the 50s and 60s. All right, it was different then. Now you can go and whatever you identify, put the smoke down. Whatever you can identify with, that's who you are. That's why they're now saying, you know what? You can go and use the men's room. You're a girl. Guy can go and use the girls' room. And now they're allowing transgender men to go and participate in sporting events, women sporting events, and they're beating all these women because it's really a man running against girls.
Well, he showed me the YouTube video. He's got a point because this fellow, he was a mile ahead of the nearest
female. I saw the track and field one where the man won and left all the other girls in the dust. And there are a lot of women's groups that are saying this is wrong, that this should be included in all of that stuff.
And then they're interviewing this fella afterwards, and all he does is talk like a sissy.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he's you know what he prefers, gay, straight, but he's running as a man in girl events, and he's winning. What
then,
so Timmy Big Tim wants to go and identify as a woman?
He only wants to do it because he knows he's stronger than girls.
Well, you can't do it that way. You have to live your whole life, you know. Everything and you do is about girls.
And then I got this doctor who, hey, you know what? Timmy will get over this real quick when the doctor explains how he's going to cut it off.
Yeah.
I know Timmy don't want that.
That's years away, though, for Big Tim. And I think, let me ask you.
Are you telling me that I should go out and buy him a skirt and call him?
I'm not saying that. Let's.
Oh, yes. This is Tammy. Yes, we don't notice the fact that Tammy is 6'9".
Well, hey, there's an angle for you. Why don't you, around the restaurant and around the house, call him Tammy? And then he'll get mad about that, and you're saying, well, you want to be a girl? Well, your name's Tammy now.
Now, see, that's common sense. That might work.
Everything he does, call him Tammy.
Yeah.
When he's at the restaurant working, when he's at home.
Why couldn't the doctor tell me that? Just make fun of him.
Yeah, just tease him. Take him to the park and have him practice, put him in a skirt and say, run, Tammy, run. It will make him so mad and so upset that he'll stop talking about this until you start calling him Tim again.
Yeah, maybe I'll get out one of my good sharp Ginsu knives and go, okay, I'm going to fix it all for you, Tammy.
There you go.
You don't want that, do you?
Problem solved. It's going to be nice and peaceable at your place.
Oh, thank God for you, Stan.
Yep. And don't worry about it, Tony. Everything's fine. There will probably eventually be police at your place, and you will get arrested.
Come on. They all got rocks in their heads.
Yep, but you got the right answer, and you got it from somebody that is not a doctor. You got it from Stan.
You may not be a doctor, but you're far more reputable than these idiots.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.